Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, three-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's better over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device credit service ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
Gerard Mayo postgame. That quote made the rounds for sure. As a lot of people heard it and thought, what is he talking about? And I just noticed this now. Kind of went over my head the first couple times I heard it. But he's like I said in the locker room. Said that in the locker room?
Apparently.
You said, hey, guys, we really controlled that game out there. Like, I understand, you know, you want to try and soften the blow. It was a one-score game. And listen, all in all, in the totality of everything that happened yesterday, I can live with a loss like that. I can. I don't, you know, like, I didn't expect him to win a lot of games this year. I didn't expect him to win that game. I didn't even really expect him to get within one score. I can live with a loss like that. You don't want to lose, but that's acceptable to me. You know, a one-score loss where you fought till the end and, you know, your defense had some problems, but then they were able to kind of sack up at the end there. Same with the offense. I mean, the offense wasn't great all game either, but they made plays at certain points when it counted to keep themselves alive, and it was never really a blowout or anything like that. Like, I can live with that. You know, we talked about different kinds of losses. Like, that's the type of loss I can tolerate. That, the Seattle game, close ones, you know, where you were competitive and you hung around. They were competitive in that game. But you controlled the game. We controlled the game. You didn't control the game. You held the ball longer because they were scoring quickly. But that's not controlling the game. That is a wild way of looking at it. And I don't know. I wonder how that landed in the locker room. I wonder how they sort of heard that and were like, yeah, like, on offense, do you think they were thinking, yeah, we really controlled that game? You put up 22 points, which is more than you usually do, and you did have the ball for a long time, but do you think the defense felt that way? You think the defense felt like, yeah, we were really in control in this game? They couldn't have felt that way, could they?
No, and I do wonder, like you said, how it was received, because when you address any large group of people, employees, students, whatever, some are going to roll their eyes at what you say, for whatever reason.
Right.
And that feels like a little bit of a potential eye-roll moment, because if I'm a veteran... Devon Godshaw, although he made some weird comments about, like, he thought they were better than the Rams and we have more talent and whatever. And I'm like,
okay,
what roster you look? Because I think the Rams are the far better team with talent, like quarterback, wide receivers, defensive front. Like, I think totality, the Rams are a more talented team. They certainly have the better coaching staff and more proven scheme and McVay and everything they did there. You just heard John Jones kind of rave about it and the way they move things around and make it tough to cover those guys and challenge a defense. But to say you controlled the game in a game where you blitzed, couldn't get there, and you gave up a 69-yard touchdown. Okay, say that. Maybe that's true. You controlled everything else, and they hit a one-off. Well, they got a strip sack on you and scored immediately. Okay, there's two portions there where it feels like you didn't really control the game. If anything, I thought that's when it was really going to go sideways for him after the strip sack and immediate touchdown. That felt like a real momentum swing. But, I mean, Matthew Stafford was kind of having fun out there, it seemed like. Like, he seemed to really enjoy his performance. And when you have two receivers with, you know, 100 yards each and get them into the end zone and you have four touchdowns, probably a reason why you're having fun. You're jogging down the field, essentially mocking the other team by like, did they really zero blitz me, Matthew Stafford, Hall of Fame quarterback? I can and I have those receivers.
Who was tearing the blitz apart all through the first half too. I mean, that's the book on him. Matthew Stafford's not some rookie. He's not some guy that you don't have any tape on. Like, you know, you're not supposed to blitz him like that. And I think that they felt. Here's my just sort of random take on it without knowing any real inside information. But if I'm looking at this through the lens of how they game planned and how they schemed everything, it's almost like Mayo said, you know, that blitz really worked against Chicago. Let's just keep doing it. You know, let's just see if that works here. And even in the first half, after you see it's not working, I mean, he's in that second quarter, he was getting whatever he wanted to, and the blitz wasn't getting there and never got there, and they just start off the second half doing it again like that. You know, like you reap what you sow eventually. Like you have to understand that that's not working. And it wasn't working at all. And it's not the team that you try and do that against. I just feel like they think they're out of options. They're limited in the ways that they can attack some of these offenses, especially ones with savvy veteran quarterbacks and good wide receivers. It's not an easy task for them.
But I'm failing to sort of tie this all together. So fourth and goal from the two,
mm-hmm.
you don't go for it.
Nope.
But Matthew Stafford, you say, I'm going to go zero blitz and see if we can get there
right.
and hope that he doesn't hit one of his all-pro caliber receivers down the field. Like it just... There's just an inconsistency to the way this all kind of comes together week to week. Even the game plan thing, you said. You have said you're a game plan team, just like Belichick was. So week to week, we're going to change things dramatically yep. based on the opponent to do what we think is best to beat that opponent. And yet you felt you could beat Matthew Stafford the same way you beat Caleb Williams. You could beat the Rams the same way you beat the Bears offensively.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that makes no sense to me. They're totally different. I mean... Is Sean McVay going to be fired this week? No,
he's not
going to be. Shane Waldron, my buddy, love him, mean it, but he got fired after that performance.
Mm-hmm.
And so I don't – that carryover idea makes no sense to me, especially when I feel like it's kind of a outlier idea.
Yeah.
I mean, the simplest idea yeah. when you have a number one corner is tell him to cover that guy and just point at whoever you think is the most dangerous on the other team, right?
Mm-hmm.
So why would you go back-to-back week outlier – It's like overthinking. I don't even know what to make of it, but it didn't work. They didn't adjust, and Gerard Mayo then goes in the locker room, and I don't – maybe he was trying to say we did some good things today or there were times in this game where we played well enough to win. To me, those are true, if you phrase it that way.
Mm-hmm.
But to say you felt like you controlled the game, that makes no sense to me.
Yeah.
Makes no sense to me. Offensively, maybe for like a quarter you controlled the game. That's about it. Mm-hmm. On one side of the ball for like a quarter, you may have controlled the game. But everything else, all three phases, it was at best competitive, and at worst, they controlled the game
yeah.
in some of the things they were able to do. So it's another one of those where not only does he say too much sometimes, he just flat out says the wrong thing.
Yeah, I mean, that happens. It's happened a lot this year, to be
too
sure.
Much.
And
too
I think
much.
That with Mayo... Identity's big for him, right? Like, this is our identity. This is what we're going to do. He said it from the beginning of the year. We're going to run the ball. We're going to play defense. We're going to win games that way. Blah, you know, like, this is us.
So go for it on fourth and goal for
like,
two.
What was the old defensive coordinator on the Steelers with the 3-4?
Dick LeBeau.
Dick LeBeau, right. Yeah, exactly. Like, he was like,
this is
our defense. We're going to come out here and do it. This is how we execute.
Blitzburg zone blitz and everything.
And listen, Dick LeBeau is a legend in football, obviously.
Yeah, but then he would blitz.
Right. So
at least he stuck to it. This is a team that wants to run the ball, play defense, be physical, tough, control the line of scrimmage. How many times have we heard that?
Mm-hmm. We've heard it a lot.
And you can't go for it on fourth and goal?
No, you can't.
Because your defense, if you're a defensive team, if you go for it on fourth and goal, where does the offense take over when you don't get it?
Right there.
Right. So you trust your defense. Mm-hmm. Control the line of scrimmage. Like, you're controlling the game. You just told me you're controlling the game. If you're truly controlling the game, then you control the offensive line of scrimmage and score. Woohoo! If that doesn't happen, no big deal. We're controlling the game. We'll control the defensive line of scrimmage. They'll punt out of their own end zone.
Mm-hmm.
We'll take over at midfield.
Yeah.
So that's what I'm saying. There is an inconsistency in the layering of their identity or how they approach things or who they want to be that I don't know why that is, especially when he is a CEO head coach.
Yeah.
He's not so busy running the offense that he gets lost in the offense.
Yeah.
He's not so busy running the defense that he gets lost in the he's supposed to be kind of...
In charge of the vibes.
Yeah, pulling it all together, right?
Yeah.
And it is poorly pulled together.
Yeah, it is. And I think there's an element of stubbornness to it, which is sort of the LeBeau point I was making there, is that he sort of thinks, yeah, you know what? We're going to create this identity for ourselves. We're going to stick to it. And even if it's not working, we'll do it until it works. And I think that's part of why you didn't see Christian Gonzalez shading Nacua or Cooper Kupp. And I think that's part of the reason why you saw them keep blitzing, even though it wasn't working. They were getting shredded. I think that's part of it. Like, hey, this is what we do. We're going to go out there and do it, and we'll make them adjust. And then when they adjust, you don't have a follow-up for it, is what it seems like. We just asked Jonathan Jones about the halftime adjustments. He said we didn't really make halftime adjustments.
Yeah.
You know, like, what does that tell you? They gave up 3 touchdowns in the second quarter, and you don't make any adjustments? Well, it's not really about the adjustments to what they're doing. Well, it should be. You know, that should be something that you maybe emphasize a little bit. I was shocked to hear that answer. And I know it's not exactly what he said, but, like, that was the gist of it.
Sort of the implication.
He's like, yeah, you know, it wasn't really about making adjustments at the half. And it's like, Well, okay, I guess we saw that because coming out of the half, you blitzed everybody and they scored a 70-yard touchdown. So, you know, yeah, I guess you're right. You didn't make adjustments.
Well, and that's where he falls back on, and I know every coach does, execution, right? We didn't execute well enough. We need to execute. But sometimes you can't execute better.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Like, I don't know how much better they can blitz, how much more often they're going to get there, how much better their pass rush can execute. Sometimes you're just limited by talent and ability, right, and makeup. And isn't that where coaches come in to try to cut a corner, find an advantage, find some way, scheme something up.
Mine for some kind of advantage that you have.
And I think they've done that too much this year. Even going all the way back to the beginning of the season, DeMarcus Covington on back-to-back week said, it's not really about scheme, it's about players executing. Well, if the players can't execute what you're telling them to do, that might be on you. Mm-hmm. You might be asking them to do things they're not capable of, right? They can't do well enough. So then it is on you to find a way to create a scheme or a game plan where they can therefore execute. So the defense I told you coming in I thought was overrated, but it's more overrated than I thought it was.
Yeah.
I don't think it's a very good defense right now.
No, it doesn't look that way. Certainly not against good teams and good offense.
9 sacks. Woohoo.
617-779-7937 if you'd like to chime in here. The Andy Hart plan, which we've heard all about since before the season
not
even started,
this one.
Really. The Andy Hart plan has a new feature to it, and it involves a disgruntled Cincinnati wide receiver, maybe not the one that you're thinking of, but we'll get to that. If you heard, listen to the Six Rings post-game show, which I actually missed it yesterday. It's the first week all year
doing?
That I missed it. It's my wife's birthday. I couldn't.
So?
So I couldn't listen to it.
You couldn't put us on in the background?
No, I couldn't.
We are very romantic.
No, I had to put on Sade. You know, a little
nice, Barry White instead.
Yeah, hey, listen, you know how it goes. Anyway, if you heard it, you already know about this, but if not, we'll get to the Andy Hart plan right after Stiz gets you caught up on what it's better over
here. AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free, all on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Pay off up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, 3-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's trending. So that was Ja'Marr Chase of the Cincinnati Bengals. Christian Arcan, Andy Hart, WEEI Afternoons here on a Patriots Monday. Doesn't play for the Patriots, obviously, but wanted to point that out because, first of all, great game last night. That was a tremendous finish in that Bengals-Chargers game, especially for me since I hit a little parlay. But either way, that was a fun game where Chase had two touchdowns, could have probably had more. Burrow missed him on what would have been a wide. He could have moonwalked into the end zone in the fourth quarter there. And after the game, he was upset. He was upset about his kicker missing a couple of field goals that would have given him the lead, probably won him the game, and just seems in general pretty disgruntled. He's not been paid yet. He's having a fantastic season. Burrow's having a good season, too, but this Bengals team just can't win games. And that takes us to the Andy Hart plan, which if you've been listening all year long, and I know you have, you know that Andy Hart's whole plan involves a wide receiver. It wasn't Chase. It was T. Higgins. That was the original centerpiece of the Andy Hart plan, but now that seems to have been amended.
So the original Andy Hart plan was draft Will Campbell at the top of the draft, trade your second-round pick, number 33, 34, whatever, overall, for T. Higgins and hand him a very nice contract, $30 million a year. Mm-hmm. We've scrapped that for a number of reasons. First of all, the whole tackle at the top of the draft may not be as likely anymore because everybody's saying those tackles near the top of the draft aren't that good.
Mm-hmm.
Will Campbell, Banks, the other kid from Texas, projects, blah, blah, blah. Okay, sometimes you need to adjust on the fly. Everybody's got a plan until you get punched in the mouth.
Right.
There wasn't actually any punching in the mouth during the fight.
Everyone's got a plan until your tackles have short arms.
Correct. So
something right. Yeah.
We adjust on the fly here. And I made this proclamation well before last night's events, which add some, I don't know, potential to this plan. So, Ja'Marr Chase is not happy. He wanted a contract, didn't get a contract. He's playing. He's playing out his mind.
Mm-hmm.
The games against the Ravens are just part of his dominant season. He's got like 450 yards against them, but he leads the NFL in everything. He's awesome. All-world, true number one receiver. But he's not happy. We know the Bengals are notoriously cheap, correct?
Yes.
Cheap. So they look to do things in a cost-effective manner. They spent a lot of money on Joe Burrow. They probably, you believe, they can't spend a lot of money on both receivers, right?
No, I think they can.
Oh, you think they can. They
I think
can't.
They can if they want can. To. I mean, they can figure out a way to do it.
They're the Bengals. They're cheap. They won't.
They're cheap. I'm just saying, like, if they wanted to, they could.
So,
right.
We have seen teams try to save money by drafting a replacement duo wide receiver. So some would say, well, why wouldn't they just sign Ja'Marr Chase, get rid of T. Higgins, mm-hmm. draft somebody? Au contraire, mon frère.
Mm-hmm.
We're French now.
Yes.
So you look at it. Chase may be north of $40 million now, legitimately. He may be a $40 million receiver, right? He continues to play great. He's dominant. Unbelievable.
He already, through 11 weeks, has 73 catches, 1,056 yards, and 12 touchdowns.
12 touchdowns.
And there are 6 weeks left in the season.
Like, his numbers are ridiculous.
That's insane, yeah.
And so, therefore, if I'm the Bengals, is it palatable to think if a team, say, traded me a top 10 pick for Ja'Marr Chase, a team that would have to have the money to give Ja'Marr Chase what he wanted,
right.
$40 million a year, plenty of salary cap play space, could I then go get Travis Hunter? Could I then go get McMillan, one of these elite wide receivers, on a five-year deal where I'm cost-controlled? Now I just give T. Higgins $29 million a year to stay.
Yep.
He's my veteran for now until McMillan, who everybody thinks is special, evolves. And he's going to build a lot like a guy that used to play in Cincinnati named A.J. Green.
True, yeah.
Longer type receiver, a little lanky. Could you lure them? Because there's not a lot of teams in the NFL that have a top 10 pick, need a wide receiver, and have all this money. You have a potential offer that Mike Brown cannot refuse. You go to him and you say, listen, because I was against this initially, trading that top pick.
Trading your pick, yeah.
It's not as high anymore. I think you're at six right now.
You are six on Tankathon, yes.
It's no longer 1, 2, 3. But you trade the sixth pick in the draft for Ja'Marr Chase. You hand him $160 million, four-year, $160 million deal. You pair him up with Drake May. You're going to the playoffs. I don't even care about the tackle anymore. Screw the O-line. Joe Burrow went to the Super Bowl with a bad O-line. And who? Ja'Marr Chase.
Yep.
Patrick Mahomes went to the Super Bowl with a bad O-line. And who? Kelce and Hill. Great quarterbacks with elite targets can overcome bad O-lines. Sometimes you need to take advantage of the market that presents itself. Right now, if Ja'Marr Chase hates the Bengals, the Patriots can be the upgrade. I'm sure he's seen the highlight videos, the recruitment videos. He knows he's going from Joe Burrow to a younger version of Josh Allen, Joe Burrow, Justin Herbert. He's not taking a step backwards at quarterback, right? He gets his money. The Bengals get a draft pick. They get their young receiver. The Patriots get their star receiver. Who says no, as Rob Bradford likes to say?
Ja'Marr Chase would probably say no.
Why?
Because he's playing with Joe Burrow.
Okay, then why didn't he sign?
Well, he hasn't gotten an offer that he likes yet. I'm just saying, he's not going to say no. It's not like he can veto the trade, I don't think, right? He doesn't have a no-trade clause. But either way, I guess the point I'm trying to make here is he's playing with Burrow, who's having a monster year himself.
Sure.
Who has 27 touchdowns already on the season on a four-win team. And he's upset about that. He's not upset about the quarterback, but he's upset about the situation that the team's in. Why would he want to come to the Patriots, a team in a worse situation than the Bengals?
Because he'll have 160 million reasons. They're lowballing him. They're cheaping out like the Bengals always do.
But the Patriots aren't the only team that would pay Ja'Marr Chase.
They might be the only team that would offer a top 10 pick to trade for Ja'Marr Chase.
And that's why the Bengals would do it. I'm talking about Chase, though. Why would he?
Yeah, but he has to go. He doesn't really have a say.
He has to go. I'm just saying, is he going to come here and be a problem?
And he's a problem there. He's not happy. In part, why do I believe? You said it last week. What did they do with the game on the line? They threw to some white stiff backup tight end, right? He's running like a one-on-one backside slant, and they're throwing to some white stiff tight end, right? So maybe he's not as happy with Joe Burrow as we might think. He likes Joe Burrow. He seems to work quite well with Joe Burrow. Maybe he just needs time apart. They've been together too long. LSU here, you know, so relationships grow stale.
I think
we're going to find that someday. Relationships grow stale.
That's true.
I will hate you someday, I promise.
Yeah, someday. I think Burrow and Chase are fine. I think you should have thrown
it to him at the
end of that game. No, I'm not saying there's no chance at all. In fact,
can I not dream?
You can dream. I'm saying all of this can happen. There's nothing Chase can do about it. If he gets traded, he gets traded. I'm just wondering, once he gets traded here and he's playing for, sorry to say it, but a lesser quarterback than Joe Burrow.
Younger quarterback.
Younger, but lesser. He's lesser
than
Burrow.
Runs better.
Who cares?
Who can throw on the run better?
Probably Burrow.
I don't think so.
All right, who's a better quarterback?
Burrow.
Okay.
But who's going to be a better quarterback?
Burrow.
Maybe.
I think Burrow's better than Drake May.
He is better, but maybe Drake May ends up better, and maybe it's just a better fit. Maybe he just wants to go back to
maybe he does, but that's a maybe.
The be-all, end-all number one.
He's already on a team
maybe
right now.
Maybe he's sick of sharing the ball with T. frickin' Higgins.
Maybe he is.
Right?
But it's not like it's hurting his numbers. It's not like it's hurting his stats. He's going to get paid, and he's going to, wherever he ends up going, I think is going to be interesting for him because he's on a team right now that should be better. He understands that
right?
It should be better. The Patriots shouldn't be better than
who
they
beat
are
the
right
Bengals?
Now. The Patriots did.
Thank you. No further questions, Your Honor.
Not really anything. You know, a lot of teams beat the Bengals this year. I don't think he wants to go to all those teams. Listen, I don't hate this plan. I don't think it's a terrible plan. It's very risky is the point.
Oh, yeah.
It's very
risky.
I'm
generally averse to this plan.
Yeah.
Trading a top 10 pick and spending a ridiculous amount of money, I generally think is stupid. But you know who else I think is stupid? Jamar Chase. He's stupid good. And you need that right now.
Say, what,
he's
what
stupid good.
He is stupid good.
And I think
he's on that Jefferson level. Like he's the cream of the crop.
And yeah. I would mix in something here. We just learned during the break that Tyquan Thornton, your guy, your prophecy is potentially going to come true.
The first step just happened.
He signed with the Chiefs practice squad. Why did he have that opportunity?
Because I don't know why.
He stinks.
Yeah, he sucks.
He's a second round pick who stinks. When the Patriots draft you in the first round, you stink. When the Patriots draft you in the second round at receiver, you stink.
Mm-hmm.
So they need to go the other way. We also know when they bring in journeyman veterans, they also stink. The only thing they haven't tried is trading for a truly elite number one receiver. Now, if Jamar Chase gets here and stinks.
They kind of did that with Cooks, right? Cooks was considered elite when they traded for him.
He was not elite.
When they traded for him, yes, he was.
No. He was a 1,000-yard jag.
What does that mean?
Yeah, exactly.
What's a 1,000-yard jag? He was one of the
best receivers
in the league.
A jag who had 1,000 yards.
He had several 1,000-yard seasons.
Yeah.
It's not like he just had
and
one.
Everybody knew he was a paper champion.
I don't think so. They traded a first-round pick for him. How often does Bill trade a first-round pick?
They traded him for another first-round pick.
Right, but he was worth a first-round pick both times, so people didn't consider him a jag.
Who'd you say thought he was really good?
Belichick.
And does that matter?
Well,
what does he know about freaking receivers?
It's the one he hit on. They traded for a wide receiver. It's one of the one times that it actually
No, that would be Randy
worked.
Moss.
All right, fine.
And Wes Welker.
The second time.
Those two.
Second or third
Cooks
time.
Didn't work because if it worked, they wouldn't have traded him again. It didn't work. Brady knew he was overrated. He was soft. He never won anything for them.
Did Moss and Welker win anything for him?
Nope.
No, so, okay.
But they were much
defense
better.
Rest, Your Honor.
They made plays.
They did. That's true.
Brandon and Cooks. You know what his
plays, too.
Did he?
Yes.
All I remember is against the Rams, he ran around and then jumped with his groin first at a tackle.
I remember
he could have gone left for a big gain or right for a big gain.
That was against
gain.
The Eagles he did that.
Oh, yeah, the Eagles.
Yeah, Eagles. Yeah.
And then he got knocked out. Because he ran in a circle on a football field. He was one of the most underwhelming, like, supposed to be good kind of players ever.
Okay. Well.
I'd take Jamar Chase and see if you truly can break the curse.
I mean, if I would do that,
no, but it's the only way to break the curse.
Yeah.
There's a curse here of receivers. You bring in injured ones, you bring in non-injured ones, you bring in young ones, you bring in old ones. It doesn't work. So, therefore, the only way to break the curse is trade a first-round pick for Jamar Chase.
All right. Hey, listen, I don't hate it.
It's a fact.
I don't hate it. Let's go to the phone, 617-779-7937. Steve is in Fall River, and he doesn't like your plan. Andy, go ahead, Steve.
Ted Cruz ran for the primary to president in 2016. He said on day one he would take the Iranian nuclear deal and rip it to shreds. I'd like to say, in honor of Ted Cruz, I want to take Andy's plan and rip it to shreds. You can't trade a pick and spend the money.
Why?
You are right, Ed. You can't.
Why?
Because that pick's too valuable.
A.J. Brown stinks, huh?
Get him as a free agent.
A.J. Brown stinks,
Get him as a free agent.
A.J. Brown stinks.
Get him as a free agent.
They traded a first-round pick.
What team was that?
The Eagles. They went to the Super
Bowl. Who did that?
The Eagles. They went to the Super
Bowl.
I just said that.
Okay.
I need you to keep up.
Okay. What'd they do the year before? They had three-win team with a lousy draft? No.
Okay.
That team, the context of the Eagles doing it is like the Patriots getting Corey Dillon or getting Randy Moss or
they paid Corey Dillon nothing.
Other teams
they didn't have to hand $100 million. This is the closest example.
It, but,
a first-round pick and $100 million.
But you need more. You need more. You can't light that on fire.
But this is available.
And now you're going away from this tackle thing all of a sudden. Guess who played right tackle yesterday for the L.A. Chargers? Who played right tackle
yesterday? Joe Alt. What's your point? They have
Joe
a left tackle.
Freaking Alt, the sixth
they have another first
round draft pick.
They have another first-round right pick at left tackle, Rashawn Slater.
Why don't we do that, Ed? Why don't we just take a number one draft
Joe Alt's
pick,
not in this a draft. Right tackle, a couple Jag left tackles
year's
are.
Number one. Bad news. You need players.
Wait, Steve,
you need
I thought you shouldn't and draft a tackle in the first round. I thought you were all about, waiting until the second and third
in the fifth round.
Yeah. I'm being facetious. That is called insanity. So I told you there were 12. There's only 11. This guy was picked as a left tackle. He's playing right tackle.
No, he wasn't. He was picked as a right tackle. They knew they had Rashawn Slater. They were saying Jim Harbaugh was setting up with what he likes to do. We're going to ground. We're going to pound. We're going to start in the trenches. He's old school. You don't have to like it, but he did it at Stanford.
Did you see the two teams last night playing in a separate division in another universe? They don't have any number one left backs. They have fifth-round draft picks. They get Travis Kelce tearing it up. They got Shakir tearing it up. That's what you need. You need a draft machine.
Or maybe the best
quarterback
in the league. Thanks for the call, Steve. Appreciate
where
it.
Where was he going then? He didn't go anywhere.
No.
I mean, feel like most of his calls don't go anywhere.
No, that's true.
They sometimes entertain.
When you have Patrick Mahomes, you can afford to skimp out on that sort of thing and draft guys and hope that Xavier Worthy and these guys and hope that they come in. When you have the best quarterback in the league and a guy who's a proven winner and a guy who you can just sort of roll the ball out and expect him to win you a game, although he didn't do that against the Bills, which, by the way, it's been a while since they beat the Bills in the regular season. Not that it matters because they always beat them in the playoffs, but it's becoming a thing in the regular season. You notice that?
Yeah, I'd like to see it become a thing in the postseason.
I don't know about that. 617-779-7937. Steve, coming in hot.
I like
the Andy Hart plan. Invoke the name of Ted Cruz right away. I mean, there's a lot to that.
Yeah, I got political right out the gate.
Sure
I didn't
did.
See the need for that.
He's like, just like Ted Cruz and the nuclear deal. Like, yeah, right, of course. Just like that, Steve.
Well,
I think we're all very familiar with
it. I feel like my plan is pretty smart if it's being compared to nuclear arms deals, right?
I have the best plan.
It's the best plan.
Any plan.
Very, very good plan.
The framework of a plan.
that's an off-season frame of a plan, I would say.
And it took a step last night. I want to clarify. I brought up this plan, my dream, before he was snippy last night and calling out the coach and calling out
the post
kicker.
Game. Right, yeah, yeah.
Right? So
that all happened later on at night. Yeah.
I think this only strengthens the possibility that maybe Ja'Marr Chase isn't happy. Maybe they don't want to give him the money. And maybe they look at this alternate plan. You do going to need to sell a little bit the plan on the Bengals.
Right.
You guys can fix your receiver room, too. T. Higgins is cheaper.
Mm-hmm.
You sign him for under $30 million a year. You save all that money. Maybe you keep Trey Hendrickson with the money.
Mm-hmm.
Do whatever else you want to do there. And you get McMillan to come in or Travis Hunter to come in. Cost-effective deal, Mike Brown. We know you like cost control, Mike Brown.
I want Travis Hunter. I want him on the Patriots. Did you see that catch he made?
I did.
Against Utah?
I did.
That was pretty good. He also got burned on defense, but he did have a tip interception, too. So.
But I'm fine with him because
he's the favorite for the Heisman right now.
And he should be.
Yeah.
He's the best player in college football.
Mm-hmm.
And he's going to get better at one of them when he plays one of them, like when he focuses on one of them. Don't tell me it's not taking away from both when you play twice as many snaps as everybody else. He's not superhuman. He's not a robot.
No.
He's not.
But he is 21, whatever he is. I mean, like, later on in his career, maybe he'll just
focus on one. So is everybody else on the field.
I know, but they don't have his kind of talent. I mean, that's just the
But I'm just talking about,
player.
So you don't believe if he just played receiver, he could be better at receiver, or just play, like, he'd have more energy, more spark, more burst, more whatever.
Not at this point, no.
Oh, I do.
Not at this point. Maybe when he's 28, yeah, sure. But right now, I think
21-year-olds get tired, too.
He doesn't.
They all do. They tap out. Anthony Richardson, how old's he?
He was tired.
I'm a quarterback. I need... Wait, who comes in when I tap my head? Somebody's supposed to come in, quarterbacks.
Come on, old man Flacco.
Hey, Flacco, get it. Find your helmet. Get off your wheelchair and get in here.
617-779-7937. We'll get to more of your phone calls. And should we do that? Maybe we'll table this. I wanted to talk a little Celtics since they had an interesting weekend and have a big game tomorrow. But let's continue with your Patriots phone calls.
Yes.
We'll do that next. All right, that was the Jalen Polk penalty. Which, real quick, I mean, Polk's obviously having a terrible year. He didn't get a single target yesterday. But the play clock was down to zero. I mean, he felt like he had to do something there. They were going to get if he didn't do that, they were going to get the delay of game anyway.
And it was
going to be a
penalty
one way or another.
Touchdown.
Yeah, he said he thought it would be a touchdown if they had gotten the playoff in time. which they didn't, which, again, another weird thing that he said in the press conference.
He thought they controlled the game.
Yeah, right. We controlled the game. Would have had a touchdown. Yeah, totally would have. Me and that girl totally would have scored. Like, yeah, okay, Gerard.
Me and her got it on.
Yeah, no, you didn't. So, that was, I mean, listen, it was a bad play, obviously, and whatever they were trying to do, it didn't work, and they weren't on the same page, and Jalen Polk's been a disaster this year, is really the point. I don't blame him all for that one particular play, because they weren't going to get the snap off. But
what about the play right before where Drake was like, hey.
Yeah, come over.
Hey,
yeah.
No, you, number one, the wide receiver, can you come closer? I need you over here. Like, he's a mess.
He's a basket case.
He can't play.
Yeah. I'm starting to think that this is...
I feel bad about it, because I don't want to see, like, somebody's career go down the crapper right before our eyes, but...
In their first year.
Now, part of the reason I don't feel bad about it is, remember, he was kind of a dink early on,
mm-hmm.
and... Sometimes you kind of you reap what you sow and you put it out there.
Well, him saying I have the best hands in the league or whatever, that's not the crime of the century. It's
what about
like,
the first one? If you're not with us now, then don't jump on board when we're good or something.
Forgot about that, yeah.
He's kind of a dink.
Mm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, did I sway you?
A little bit. I mean, that's not the worst thing I've ever heard either.
Oh, no, I didn't say that, but...
Yeah. He's.
It's not the worst thing in the world for us to acknowledge that he stinks.
Yeah, it's true. And he's having a terrible season, and it's just not going right. And this team just can't figure it out when it comes to these wide receivers. Even their good ones, you know, even Booty and Douglas, who neither one of them, I thought, set the world on fire yesterday either. But
Nope. These
are sixth-round picks. These are guys you kind of took a flyer on. Whenever they target a wide receiver, and this is beyond Bill Belichick. I mean, Belichick had a terrible time with this for 20-plus years. It's continuing now. I mean, they just, for whatever reason, whoever they're bringing out to scout these college players and whatever things that they're looking for and things that they think are going to apply in the NFL and on this team and in this organization, it's just whether they go for the fast guy, whether they go for the possession guy, whether they go for the big guy, the small guy, whatever it is.
Doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter. They're all just bums.
Because they couldn't be any more different.
Yeah.
Like, N'Keal Harry, Tyquan Thornton, DeMario Doug, like, they're all very different. It's
different
not like
players,
they have a type and they're missing on the type. They're missing on every type.
Mm-hmm.
They're missing on every guy they take. And even it gets us where we're, I think, overly optimistic about Booty. Like, Booty's been fine.
Yeah.
But I don't think he's been great. But because he's not a disaster like Polk and Baker and the other guys, it's almost like we kind of...
Yeah. And he's made some plays this year. Yeah.
Certainly. He's also made some mistakes.
Yep.
He's also had drops. He's also failed to fight for the football. He's also done some things that I think are less than desirable.
Four catches, 33 yards yesterday.
You know what the I don't know if it's good or bad. So this is a team that's supposed to be playing young players, right?
Mm-hmm.
Supposed to be developing a foundation. The heart of the passing game yesterday was Kendrick Bourne and Hunter Henry.
Yeah.
The guys Bill Belichick signed 4 years ago or whatever that
mm-hmm.
was, right? Like,
yeah.
There wasn't this heart of the passing game that you'd want to see that's Booty and Baker. And Baker got benched from kick returns.
Yeah.
He can't even return kicks now.
Well, he did, though. He returned the first kick, he returned it great. And then the second one, I saw him, like, throwing a tantrum or whatever after it was over. But that first one was a good return.
So
what are you benching him for?
I wanted to go back and look.
I forgot about it. Thank you for bringing that up because I did not get that.
Mayo said something about his decision or hesitancy to come out or something of the end zone, I guess. I had to go back and look at it because I didn't remember the beginning of that kickoff. I just remember it was productive. They had really good field position that they didn't
like
really do anything.
45-yard return,
right.
Yeah.
But he got benched on kick returns. He's done nothing offensively.
Mm-hmm.
Douglas is doing whatever Douglas was doing on the last play of the game. Like, really, the only guys that were consistently productive were Henry and Bourne. And
Bourne, who sat last week,
right.
So the young guys could play, right?
Right, yeah. Which is another weird.
Yeah.
He's out last week. Now this week he's flexing in the end zone, and he's one of your better players. Like, I don't even know what we're doing here. With the receiver position, the targets, like, there's no... This is where another reason everybody said they didn't have a plan for May.
Mm-hmm.
Feels like they don't really have a rhyme or reason plan for, like, what's this week?
Yeah.
Is K.J. Osborne going to be in there instead of Baker? Or like, what are they going to switch up this week? I'd like to see a little consistency there. I think that might – we talk about O-line looking for continuity, consistency. Maybe give these guys some roles. Or Polk might be throw him out there no matter what.
Yeah.
Either make him inactive or give him some catches. He feels like a guy that needs one of those boots.
They did that last week. They threw him that touchdown, right?
Yeah.
I mean, that was just a little dump
one
off.
One catch, one target, one touchdown.
Sure, but wasn't that supposed to get him going? Wasn't
no,
that
but
supposed
I mean,
to be
like,
the point of that?
First play of the game, run of those boots, have him, like,
have
7 yards in the flat. You know, like, and just make a concerted effort to, okay, we trust you, we believe in you. Drake did a good job, I thought, post-game of saying, we're going to make plays together, we're rookies. Do you remember how excited people were when minicamp ended on a throw between those two in the corner of the end zone? The officials were here. It was like this big thing. Drake threw one to the pylon, and Polk went up and caught it, and there were officials here, and Duggar was, like, fighting the official.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And it was like, I remember talking about it, saying that was sort of, you know, a dream vision to present. Ooh, it's June, and these guys are already making plays. Like, this is signs of a sign of things to come. And little did we know that Drake May was a sign of things to come, and Polk was a sign of red flag disaster ahead. By the way, Stiz, red flag means don't burn. Again, and still.
good point. Stiz, what's the, you have Gerard Mayo talking about Polk and Baker. When is this from?
Yeah, this was from his postgame.
This is from the postgame today. All right, here's Gerard Mayo on the young wide receivers.
I think it's important to remember, like, those guys are rookies. And, you know, sometimes the expectation is that they're just going to come in here and be all pros. That's not it. Those guys, they work every day, and at some point they'll hit an inflection point where they can help our team win.
At some point.
At some point.
At some point. Maybe. I think, or we'll cut him in 2 years.
With wide receivers generally, not every time, but with wide receivers generally, you can tell if they're NFL players in the first year. You can tell if they're going to be something in that first year. And it's not always because they go out and have a crazy season. You know, it's not because they put up 1,000 yards. But you see them on a week-to-week basis.
Sure.
You see them have a really good game. You see them flash, you know, stuff like that. Rookies, you know, rookie stuff. I've seen nothing. You see nothing with Jalen Polk.
And,
you know, there's nothing to hang your hat on with him.
Now, I will say, I think, like, Quentin Johnston for the Chargers, I think, might be a guy that was kind of labeled a bust last year. Seems like he's coming on some this year. So it's not everybody, but I agree with you. Generally, and maybe not the layman fan, but I feel like people around the team, guys that are watching training camp practices, are like, oh, yeah, he did some good things. He's going to develop. Certainly, Jacoby Myers was the perfect example.
Yeah.
He was an undrafted guy who, I like to pat myself on the back, Leaping Lenny Puffo style. Immediately within 1 or 2 days of camp, I said, Jacoby Myers is going to have a much longer, more productive career than N'Keal Harry. It was obvious right out the gates there, and it ended up being 100% accurate. He's a good NFL receiver. Now, Polk wasn't horrific in the summer. I don't think I liked him as much as Curran does. Curran keeps bringing this up. Drops weren't a huge deal. He was kind of just there.
He got positive reviews in the summer.
I wouldn't
say,
like, lauded, though. It was kind of like good enough type stuff, better than Baker. Thornton was actually good in the summer. Thornton was a guy that got positive reviews.
Shows how much that matters.
So he'll help the Chiefs.
Yeah, probably. Listen, this is the reason and the only reason, really, that I trust the Andy Hart plan. You know, you can't keep drafting these guys.
Yeah.
You can't keep going into the second round and saying, you know what, this is the year we're going to hit on the guy, or late in the front, whatever it is. And even if you're drafting in the top 7, top 10.
So McMillan you're out on? Travis Hunter you're out on?
Not out on Travis Hunter. I'll take Hunter.
And you would make him a what? I want to clarify, get this on the record early.
Wide receiver.
He would be a wide receiver.
I'd play him both ways, but I'd
who would
primarily wide receiver, yes.
Okay.
That's what I would prefer for him.
That's where they need him more.
That and listen, I mean, if he's the Heisman favorite, so he may end up going first overall or second overall. I do know that there's going to be a lot of teams that are desperate for quarterbacks, but if he's such a unique talent, then he may go in the top 3 and you may not have a shot at him. So, you know, that's possible too. Either way, it seems to me that the only way that you can improve this thing at all is to get someone who's proven and bring in somebody who's done it and bring in somebody that you know can be a game breaker.
Like Jamar Chase.
Like Jamar Chase or Jefferson when they talked about trading those picks for Jefferson last year. I was for that too. Even if we didn't know who the quarterback was going to be, at least you have this game breaker. At least you have this guy you can throw it up to. And, you know, if they ended up with Bo Nix or McCarthy, right, they would have traded if the Vikings wanted to move up and you ended up with McCarthy, who's injured right now, but fine. McCarthy and Jefferson you feel better about than May and Polk, you know? Like, it's just the way it is, I think.
And, what about May and Chase?
May and Chase, you
McCarthy
feel...
McCarthy and Jefferson, I'll take May and Chase.
I'd take that, too. 617-779-7937 is the phone number. If you missed our interview with Drake May earlier on in the show, we talked to him very early in the show at 2:15, fear not, because we're going to replay it for you right now. In its entirety, we will have Drake May from earlier today. He covered a range of topics and had a lot to say. So don't go anywhere. Drake May right after this. It's better
over here. Now at T-Mobile, get 4 5G phones on us and 4 lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, three-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.